Amen. I don't make too many mistakes. I'm like Colonel Goldstein. But I would say you all probably know better than that, amen, that we all make mistakes. The only difference is that it takes a man to admit it. A lot of folks don't want to admit they've ever made a mistake. Can't find them wrong in anything. But I am wrong, have been wrong in a lot of things. I'll assure you of that. All right. I want you to look in your Bibles again to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John and chapter number 2. I want to read one verse this morning, the verse that I put in our bulletin, if you read it. Be our text verse and what I'll be preaching from. I'll read it, pray, and read it again, then bring the thought the Lord's laid upon my heart. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. Amen. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now may the Lord add His blessings to that. I'll probably not expound a great deal on that verse, just the thought out of it, and try to be a help, I hope, to some of us today. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour and the song service. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that someday we shall see Thee. And when we see You, Lord, we're going to see You as You are, for we shall be like You. I rejoice in the fact that you're soon coming in the clouds of glory for the people of God. But Lord, until then, help us to go on singing. Help us to go on worshiping God, praising God, witnessing, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. I pray now you'd bless the Word of God to our hearts today and help the preacher. I stand in great need. I'm just clay. And I need that special unction, that anointing from the Spirit of God. That power and that liberty, I plead the blood and pray for grace. I ask you, Lord, to be merciful to every sinner under the sound of my voice today. And for your people, Lord, you know the great need that we have. You know the sin that's in our heart. You know the revival that we need. You know the troubles we face, the trials that we walk through, and the temptations that we fight. And I pray you'll bless us and help us and deliver us by the grace and the power of God. Bless those that are unable to be here today. I pray especially for my wife, Sister Gossett. I pray for her and Brother Cater. That should help them and bless them. Do help Brother Brown, a dear brother and a friend of mine as well. Give grace, Lord, to his body and help him, I pray. Raise him up from the bed of affliction. And Lord, we'll thank you for what's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Verse number 24 again, the Bible said, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. Got to put it on, don't I? Yep. Keep forgetting these things. At the time, that'd make me real nervous, but I don't get too nervous anymore. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain. Now, listen carefully what he says. Shall remain in you. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, in this verse, John makes a real profound application to what he has already written in verses 18 down through verse number 23. There he has exposed the Antichrist, and they need to be exposed. Even if they have the title of Baptist over their door, they need to be exposed. If they're contrary to sound doctrine and what this Bible teaches, if they're contrary to truth and live in error and live in sin, and you know that, then they're Antichrist. And they need to be exposed. And so he exposed the Antichrist, but he explained how that we, you and I, that are believers, are preserved from being deceived. He said, we have an unction from the Holy One. We have an understanding from the Holy One. We have the gift of God from the Holy One. We have the Holy Spirit, God's gift to us, dwelling within us to comfort us, to expose sin in our own lives, and to prevent us and preserve us from falling into fatal error and falling into sin. Now, what we have then is an exhortation to the people of God to continue in the faith and embrace the truth they have previously received. I'm preaching this morning on the thought to continue in the faith. To continue in the faith. Brother Steve hit the nail on the head in Sunday school when he said we are to have our loins girt about with truth and ready to ship out. And I'm afraid a lot of God's people have fallen into slumber and sleep, and we're certainly not watching and waiting and looking for the coming of the Son of God. And He'll come in an hour or in a time which you know not. And God help us if we're caught, pardon the expression, as the old man said, with our britches down. Amen. And it's going to be highly possible. Because I see God's... You know what He says in the book of Luke, I believe it is, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith upon the earth?" And what He's saying is, will there be those that will continue in the faith? Are there those that's going to be there embracing the truth that they've already heard? Those that have been anchored, their souls have found an anchor, and they've not drifted far from the shore. They're not drifting out in sin. They're not drifting out into the world, but they've anchored their souls in Christ, and they're stable in the house of God and in the Word of God. That's exactly right. And continuing in the faith. I must be honest with you today. The Bible says, I think, four times that the just shall live by faith. But I wonder how many of us today are really living by faith. That's what John is saying here. If it let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. And if it does abide in you and remain in you, then you will continue in the Father, and you will continue in the Son, and you will continue in the faith. I'm telling you, there is a great falling away, and that's not only number-wise, numerically speaking, I think that is spiritually speaking also. There is a falling away in the people of God from spiritual things. We might as well say amen. Not our heads up and down. We're as cold as, bless God, an iceberg at the North Pole. Somebody say amen right there. You couldn't jerk a shout out of some of us if you latched a hold of our soul with a semi-trailer, truck. You couldn't jerk a shout out of us. Amen. We're cold, and our faith is beginning to waver. I'm telling you, the Bible still says that God's people that believe in Him will do great exploits. And I still believe if we're living by faith and trusting God that we can and will accomplish great and mighty and wonderful things for the glory and honor of God. Now, the Bible said in Jude verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you." And the reason He said to exhort you, He knew that they were prone to grow relaxed and get relaxed in their faith. He said, "I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you. I want to keep you pressing on. And the only way I can do that is by exhorting you." And He said, "I am exhorting you that you might earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God." Now, I'm telling you, it's not good enough in the mind of God to receive grace and receive faith and then sit down and do nothing about it. The Christian life is a life of pressing toward that mark, pressing toward that prize. And we're not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not talking about necessarily physical work around the house of God. Thank God for the physical work. But I'm telling you, we need some Marys, and may I say, we need some Marians. Marys and Marians. I'm talking about women and men. In the house of God that will learn to sit down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is where it's all got to begin. And unless we learn to get back there, I'm afraid we've left our first love. And unless we get back there, we're not going to be able to continue in the faith. That is, move on in it. Not saying we're lost. We're just not moving on. We're not continuing in the faith. But John said, if that which you have heard from the beginning remain in you and abide in you, you will continue in the faith once delivered unto the saints of God. Now, if we thoroughly intend to live a life of faith and walk with the Lord consistently and remain faithful to the work of God, there's three things that we're going to have to do. And they're not much, but I think they're right in this text. I want to give them to you and I want to preach them. Number one, we're going to have to hear the Word of God. Number two, we're going to have to heed the Word of God. And number three, we're going to have to hold to the Word of God. That is exactly right. That's right. I'm afraid that God's people are starving themselves to death for a lack of knowledge. And it is because our ears, we've grown dull of hearing the Word of God. Somebody said, I've heard that old story over and over again. Well, praise God, sing it to me one more time about Jesus and His love. I'll tell you, it's never gotten old to me yet. The old, when we get to glory, it was a new song we sang, will still be the old, old story that we've sung all these years. And it's Christ and Him crucified, the hope of the world, the blessing of the believer, amen, and the Savior of the souls of mankind, and the lover of our souls, amen. He that loadeth us down daily with benefits. Hallelujah. We ought to praise God who loadeth us down daily with our benefits that we have. Somebody ought to try to number them one time.
Amen.
Amen. They're more than the hairs of your head. They're more than the sand that's upon the seashore. Thank God you're here and breathing, ain't you? You could be laying in a hospital like Brother Brown with pneumonia and losing blood and a bad heart, not knowing whether you're going to ever sleep in your own bed again or not. Most of us have at least got enough confidence that we're going home and bed up in our own bed tonight. But there's a lot of people today laying in the hospital that have no idea whether they'll ever sleep in their own bed again or not. And by the way, if we live long enough, that'll get us one of these days as well. But I'm going to tell you, when you get to where Doc Brown's at, you better make sure that what you have heard has abided in you and remained in you. You will need it for grace, amen, to make you through that hard spot in your life. Some of you say, well, I'm in a hard spot. You know what a hard spot is. Whether you're down and can't look up. Amen. And may not ever have the privilege of getting up.
Amen.
And if we can't run with a footman,
right,
we'll never make it in the swelling Jordan.
Yes.
We'll not be able to run with the horses, ladies and gentlemen. We can't handle the little things. God help us. I'm telling you, I've never seen us drift off in the cold state of affairs that what we're living in now. And it's simply because what we have heard, amen, has not remained in our heart. We have let it leak out of our heart because we are weak vessels and they've leaked out from us and we failed to replace them in the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. Now, if that which we have heard, He said, therefore, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard. So we're going to have to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We're going to have to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible said, and you know it, I've read it so many times, Romans 10:17, the Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But listen to this little note that I've written down here. It's not sufficient to hear sound preaching and become mentally acquainted with God's Word. The Word must find a permanent lodgment in the heart if we are to really be benefited by it. And human nature being what it is, we're weak and unstable, and there's real danger of relinquishing the truth under pressure of persecution for the gospel's sake or through being absorbed with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Now, I'm telling you, that's an absolute fact, ladies and gentlemen. You can say amen right there. It is not enough to sit under preaching and get acquainted with the Bible. That Word has got to find a lodging place in our heart. Amen. That it can be operative in our heart in times of need. I'm telling you, if that book has found a lodging place in your heart and it comes down to the valley time, praise God, you can walk through the valley and sniffle at the lilies all the way from one end of it to the other. Somebody say amen right there. You ever get out in the desert and the Word of God is lodged in your heart, you can smell the roses while they bloom. Somebody say amen. If you ever get in the wilderness, hallelujah to God, and the Word of God's lodged in your heart, I'll tell you, you can find honey out of the rock and water out of the rock all at the same time, and God will rain down manna from heaven upon you. Amen. If that Word has found a lodging place in your heart, but it's got to find a permanent place there. You got to hear the Word of God. Now listen carefully. I've got so many things. I know I'm going to run out of time, but I won't say them anyway. Now, how's that Word going to lodge there? How are we going to hear the Word of God and find a lodging place for it? Number one, there needs to be a serious and diligent fixing of our thoughts upon what we hear. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed, O God. I will sing and give praise. I wonder this morning if our hearts are really fixed upon what we've heard. Or if it's like Brother Steve said, we've never girded up the loins of our mind and we let what we hear go in one ear and out the other. I'm telling you, that will not get the job done. It has got to find a lodging place in our heart. Amen. And we have got to seriously and diligently fix our heart and our mind upon what we have heard. Amen. That's right. We say, secondly, there must be a bowing and a bending of the will to yield to what we hear. Most people do not want to yield their will to what they hear. Amen. I hear it all day long, but my will is not going to follow it. That's where most folks are. Come on now, nod your little heads up and down. That's where most of us are living today. And I'm going to tell you, some of it is not easy to bow to. It's not always easy to yield to it. But I'll tell you, if we'll yield to it, I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our heart. If we will bow to it, I'll tell you what will happen. God will bless us for bowing to the will of God for our lives. Amen. And the will of God for our lives is to let this Bible become embedded in our heart and walk in uprightness and amen. And walk before our God and know that He is God. But He said, walk before me and know that I am God. Amen. That is exactly right. So we got to diligently fix our hearts upon thoughts upon that what we hear. And we've got to bow and bend the will and yield to what we hear. And that's not always easy to do. If you're strong-willed, you're going to have problems. If you're self-willed, you're going to have problems. Can I break those two terms down into Kentucky vernacular for you and I? If you're hard-headed, you're not going to bend to what you hear. If you're stubborn, you're not going to bend to what you hear. I'm telling you that right. We live in a stubborn and a rebellious, come on now, say amen, and rebellious generation. who do not want to bow to the will of God. We're about like Israel. When God would judge them, they'd cry out to God. God delivered and said, we're going to serve you, O God. But as soon as things got going good again in their life, away they went off away from God one more time. God may have to bring some persecution and some hard times our way. He may have to bring that recession. He may have to bring that recession to get us back on our knees. I'm telling you, we had a whole lot more of God when we had a whole lot less money. Amen. And was on our knees and realized we had to pray it down rather than just sit back and let it roll in. Amen. I want to say thirdly, I've got so much to say. There must be a placing of the affections upon what we hear. Our affections. I'm going to tell you, folks, we're controlled a whole lot by our affections. And look here. That is, if we love, I'm talking about our affection, if we love what we hear. Praise God, it's not a problem for me to set my affection upon John 3:16. Now, you know why I love it? Because it tells me about a Savior that God sent into the world. Amen. Who would die on the cross for a miserable wretch like me. Amen. Who loved me just like I am. Yes, and died for me just like I was. Came to where I was when I couldn't get to Him. Hallelujah to God. What's difficult about setting your affection upon God loving the world and giving His Son to be a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Pray God, tell me, how difficult is it to set your affection upon something like that? I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Other things control our affections. Other things control our affections other than God. Things. Things that Jesus said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we're trying to get things the wrong way. We'll get God, we'll get things. Somebody say amen right there. That's what's wrong with America. I've never seen America in the mess it's in right now. God help our country. Amen. I heard somebody say the other day, and I won't name the political party, it depends on what they said, but if that so-and-so party, if they can't even run their own primary election, how in God's name will they ever run the country in the White House? Amen. They're fighting and a fussing and a raising sand about what they're going to do. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, our country is in a mess, our churches are in a mess, and we better get serious about this thing of God and get some Word of God tucked away in our heart to help us in our time of need. Amen. That's right. This time next year, most of us may be sleeping under pup tents. Unless you've got your house paid for, and I don't. But I'll tell you, I've lived in a tent before. There was a time I didn't have a bathroom, didn't have running water, and I can remember when I didn't have electricity. Didn't have a refrigerator, I had an ice box. Didn't have a bathroom, I had a path out back. And we didn't cut the grass, we swept the ground. Because there's so many kids, we kept the grass beat away. Amen. That's right. I can remember when it was that way. And look what God's done for us. Amen. Look at all God's done for us. Amen. Some of you in here got your homes and got them paid for. You probably got a little money tucked away in the bank. You ought to be so grateful and thankful. God, we ought to be rejoicing today. And if our affections was upon what we've heard, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm not much of a preacher, but I'm telling you, they've been some pretty good preachers come through and pass through this pulpit. If we just take what's been preached across this pulpit and tuck it away in our heart, let it abide in our heart, we can continue in the faith that's been once delivered unto them. And we can, we'll continue in the Son and in the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say number four, there must be a bringing of the entire man into conformity to what we hear. We must conform our lives to what we hear.
Amen.
That's right. When a man of God says it's wrong to chew tobacco, some of you need to get the cud out of your mouth. When a man of God says it's wrong to smoke, you need to throw them Marlboros, Camels, Lucky Strike, Pall Malls, whatever you got, down the drain. It's going to kill some of you.
That's right.
My brother's wife is dying from emphysema.
Amen.
In the hospital with pneumonia and carries an oxygen tank around with her and will not give up cigarettes.
Right.
You know, I would hate to think that I wouldn't give up a smoke for life.
Amen.
His life not no more precious than a 3-inch long cigarette.
Amen.
And the reason our minds, reason our hearts and minds are not stayed upon the Lord is because they're stayed upon the TV.
Amen.
And games and this. Come on in the house.
Amen.
Praise God, some of you little ones has already give you away. Amen. I got ears. Praise God, I'm not totally deaf. I don't hear as well as I used to, but I'm not totally deaf.
Amen.
I told one of my members a while ago, I said, I'm proud that you're trying to discipline your child correctly. I heard that little fella run out here the other night under Daddy's hand. He said, please, Daddy, not the belt. But I'm proud of that. I'm proud of these little boys sitting in here with neckties on. These little girls wearing the right kind of clothes.
Amen.
I'm proud of that.
Yes,
I'm proud if your just if your family is sitting here. I'm proud of that.
Amen.
Yes. You've hung in there. We've whipped them out. Praise God. Let's go twain.
Amen.
Let's not draw back, but let's go on like Paul said in Hebrews 10. Let's not draw back unto perdition. Let us go on to the saving of our soul. Praise God. Let us stand. Let us rise. Let the Word of God that's in your heart blossom and bloom and lift you up and raise you up. And let the power of God settle in your soul. Amen. That's right. Let the Holy Ghost encourage you. And if you can't get encouragement from me, find you a place out in the woods and encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. That's right. Now, I want to say this. And I've only got one point under here in the Word of God. What we need to hear, and that's the gospel. The gospel covers a whole lot more than we think it does.
Amen.
The gospel of the Lord Jesus is still the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. To the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Yep.
Thank God for hearing the gospel.
Amen.
Do you remember that day when it was dark in your life?
Yep.
And the lights were out?
Right.
And the load was heavy? And sin was making you sick?
Amen.
Knew there was nothing left in you in life worth living for? And Christ! Whoa! Christ sent the Holy Ghost
Amen.
To where you were.
Amen.
Brought you someplace where some old leather lung preacher could ride back and tell you about the gospel that is the power of God
Amen.
Unto salvation. To tell you that according to the scriptures that Christ died and was buried
Amen.
And arose according to the scriptures. Hallelujah to God. Ascend him back to the right hand of God and bless his name. Praise God. He's getting ready to come again after us. Thank God. That's right. Thank God he's coming again. Now, listen to these things. I probably can't preach all these. I got 8 of them. I won't, under this one point. I'll just try to read them. But the gospel is the chariot that Christ rides in His majesty. If you want to see the majestic glory of Christ, look to the gospel.
Amen.
If you want to see His majestic beauty and the beauty of holiness, look to the cross.
Yep.
That He that knew no sin was made to be sin.
Yep.
That He was perfect, died for the imperfect.
Yep.
that he that was holy died for the unholy. I'm telling you the gospel. It's still good today. You can have your entertainment. You can have your entertainment, but give me the gospel. Praise God. And let the chariot of grace come rolling down the aisle. Woo! Amen to God. Hallelujah. The gospel of the Lord Jesus is what? He rides in the chariot of His majesty. We'll say number two, the gospel is the mirror by which He shines forth. Hallelujah to God. You look in the mirror and see you. And I'm going to tell you, you look in the gospel, you will see Him. Woo! You won't see the preacher. Amen. You won't see the guy that baptized you. Thank God for preachers. I thank God for preachers. And I'm telling you, when I look into the gospel, I don't see a preacher. I see the suffering Son of God shedding His lifeblood for you and me. Oh, when I look into the gospel, when I look into the mirror of the gospel, I see grace. Amen. I see glory. When I look into the mirror of the gospel, I see life. And I see it more abundantly because you know why? I see Him. Praise God, I see Him. I'm telling you, when I read through the book of Hebrews, I ain't got time to go there and quote it. It talks about angels being made a little lower and this and that. But it said, but we see Jesus. Woo! You ever seen Him? But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the crowning of death. Hallelujah. That through Him sinners unworthy of heaven might be saved by the grace of God. Don't put her off, neighbor. Come to God today. I'm pleading with you today. Don't put her off, young people. Get on this altar and give your life to God today. He died in your place on Mount Calvary. Look in the mirror of the gospel and see the Son of God. May I say thirdly, the gospel is a means by which He is seen by the eye of faith. Amen. It's the gospel that opens up our eyes to the faith that we might believe in. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. Bless His name. Make a hole in that wall back there. I'm on the way. Hallelujah to God. Amen. It was at the cross where I first saw the light. Amen. He opened up my eyes and gave me grace to believe. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Where did you see that at? In the gospel. Amen. When an old preacher got up and told me about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. About His death and burial and resurrection. And His power to redeem. He is our kinsman redeemer. Amen. Made like unto us to sinful man. That He that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hallelujah, today's wonderful name. Praise God. Amen. And I want to say it's through the gospel. It's His glory reflected. You want to see glory? Look to the cross.
Amen.
There's glory. Somebody said that I don't think it was very glorious. Well, that's what the world needs to believe. They say, well, He died. Some of the world, you know, the philosophers and the college professors and the university professors that are morons and idiots that have learned too much for their own good that won't tell you come from a tadpole or a monkey. They might have come from a monkey. I did not come from God.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, that was His weakest hour. They passed by and said, if you're the Son of God, won't you come down, save yourself, and then we'll believe too. They said, He's so weak, hanging there between heaven and earth. If He were really the Son of God, He'd have the power to come down. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He chose to die alone, forsaken by His disciples, forsaken by mankind, and even God forsook Him while He laid the sins of the world upon Him, and He died for the sins of the whole world. And He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Thank God, it wasn't in His weakest moment. It was in His strongest hour when He gave His life on Calvary. You know why it was? He said, I've got the power
Woo! To lay her down. I've got the power. Woo! Devil! Woo! To take it up again. Hallelujah. And lay it down. He did. And take it up. He did. Glory to His wonderful name.
Yeah.
You want to see glory? Look to the cross. Oh, what glory.
Yeah.
For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory.
Yes.
No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's through the gospel that His abiding love and abounding grace are published. I'm not saying about that. Through the gospel that His finished work is declared. He said, looked up and said, Lord, it is finished. It's through the gospel that His victory over the powers of darkness and His triumph over death in the grave are announced.
Amen.
Through the gospel. That's where the power, that's amen to God. That's where He overcome the power of darkness. He bruised Satan's head. Hallelujah. And overcome the powers of darkness. That you and I might live in light. Woo! Glory to His wonderful name. Let the light shine. Oh yes, and throw out a lifeline. And throw the light out with it. That sinners might make their way to the shore. Hallelujah to God. Tuck that away in your heart this afternoon. Go home knowing that God threw you a lifeline when you were drowning in the sea of despair and sin and had no way of reaching the shore. Christ threw out a lifeline and brought you safely into the bosom of Christ, into the haven of rest. Thank God, there's a haven of rest. Woo! I'm not the old crazy in a bed, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the gospel makes known His unsearchable riches, His glorious inheritance, and His coming again are revealed. All in the gospel.
Amen.
What a great God. Now, you not only got to hear the word, it'll fall through the bottom here. You got to heed the word.
Yeah.
Don't do enough to hear it. You got to heed it. I've read you this verse so many times. Our text says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning remain in you. Abide in you.
Amen.
You've got to heed what you've heard. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Wonder why Paul wrote that any time we should let them slip. Can I tell you why? Because it is possible to let them slip.
Amen.
It's possible to come to the house of God drier than the valley of dry bones.
Amen.
Amen.
It is possible to come to the house of God deader than Lazarus was.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
It's possible to come to the house of God without the glow of Christ upon our face.
Yes.
You know what somebody told me the other day? I forget who it was. I don't know. I don't remember who it was. I'd have been somebody in here. I'm the way my mind is. But somebody told me that they read where Moses, some college professor said when Moses got the Ten Commandments, that said God didn't give them to him. Said he was just got a little high upon that mountain and was high on dope when he wrote that down. Didn't really know what he was writing about. I don't want my kids hearing none of that nonsense.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if I was in a school and I heard a professor get up and tell me that Moses was high on dope when he got the Ten Commandments, me or him won. Broom, plug your ears up. Me or him won't take a beat. I'd smack him upside the head in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now I've never seen such ignorance in all my life. Hallelujah. But heed that word. Heed that word. Now, I illustrate that with Lydia in Acts 16:14. When Paul and his crowd had made it to Philippi,
And they went down to a place where prayer was wont to be made, and a woman, a seller of purple named Lydia, there, and said, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Heard us. There's a hearing of the word. Heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. In other words, she not only heard, but she heeded. She done. Hey, what she heard Paul preach, she attended to it. She got up and got busy. That's what we need to do, is get up and get busy. Sinners are dying and going to hell, and we're asleep on God. Worship is dead, and we're asleep on God. Get up and get with it. Somebody said, well, I just need God to pass by before I can get with it. The Bible said, I will, praise the Lord. Have you got a will? I will exercise it. Why don't you? Just exercise your will. I will, praise the Lord. I will. I will, praise the Lord. I will, praise the Lord. Just exercise your will. Are you free willers? Now, listen carefully. Things necessary for heeding God's Word. Number one, search the Scriptures. Oh, I think Brother Steve touched on that in the Sunday school time. The Lord said in John 5:39, stay with me now, don't leave me, I won't be much longer. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Hey, you want to heed what this book says? Search the Scriptures. You've got to get into it from kibber to kibber. You've got to read it. You've got to learn it. Somebody said, I can't hardly memorize it. Join the crowd. That's why I carry a King James 1611 Bible. Somebody said in the office this morning, Episcopalians and Catholics or somebody was going to write a new authorized version. They can write all they want to write. Don't make a flip to me. I've got the authorized version right there. In fact, I don't know about the authorized version. I've got the Bible. What I want with a virgin when I've got the Bible. I'm telling you, that's God's Word. That's why I said, search it, look it up. Find out for yourself. Get in the Bible and find out whether it be true or not. Find out whether Jesus is right or not. Find out whether there's a heaven or hell or not. Amen. I picked up an email last night and had a poll on there. I'm going to do a poll. I got down toward the end of it. It said, do you go to church? And it had on there once, at least once a week. And it dwindled from there. And I said, Lord, I hate to match with that. I go to church 3 times a week, sometimes 4 and 5. But I put there, and they said, do you believe that Jesus is the only way that a man can get to heaven? I said, yep. They said, do you believe people go to hell if they die without Jesus? I said, yep. I don't know who took it. But I'd like to have been able to write something in there myself. I said, yeah, and you're going to hell too if you don't get saved. Amen. All lost people are going to hell. You can knock your head up and down. That is exactly right. You've got to search them Scriptures. But, hold on now. Not only search them daily. The Bible said about the people at Berea, when Paul went to Berea in Acts 17:11, said they were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. Jesus said, search them. But he allowed Luke to write further upon where he had Luke. Amen. He allowed Luke to write to elaborate on that when he said, not only search them daily. Not weekly, not monthly, not annually, not when we come to church. Search the Scriptures daily. Why? For in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that speak of me, Jesus said. So that tells me, you know who we ought to be looking for in the Bible? Jesus. Amen. They are they that speak of me. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that speak of me. So in other words, when we get in that Bible, we ought to just get in there and say, Lord, help me. We ought to say, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Amen. Praise God, I want to find Him. Find God, Him that loved me. My Redeemer. The Lord of my life. The lover of my soul. He that lives within. He that has
has quickened me that was dead in trespasses and sins. I want to see Him. Hallelujah. I want to see Him in the Bible until I see Him in person. Somebody say Amen right there. We're going to meet Him someday in the clouds. Glory to God. We're going to meet Him and see Him in the clouds. Thank God with all this blood-bought crowd, we're going to meet Jesus in the air one of these days. Thank God. Brother George sang that song, "Oh, I want to see Him." I wonder how many Baptists really want to see Him. Woo! You talking about glory? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. So search the Scriptures. Search them daily. Then you got to compare scriptural things with spiritual things in light of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Compare the Scripture. That's the only way of interpretation, is to compare. That's what's wrong with some of these knuckleheads in the world today that are wrong on their Bible doctrine. They pull out one verse of Scripture. That's all they know and that's all they preach on. They don't know how to compare Scripture with Scripture and come out with the truth. Praise God, I'm going to tell you, I can take the Bible if I wanted to take time this morning, and I won't, but if I could take the Bible, I wanted to, I could take the Bible this morning and show you where it would be scriptural for everybody in here to hang themselves. The Bible said when Judas heard these things, he repented and went out and hung himself.
Yeah.
Well, I guess when we repent, the best thing to do is go hang ourselves. That makes a lot of sense, don't it? Jesus saved us from death, so we go kill ourselves. Because we repented. No, no. Well, Acts 2:38, the book of Mark, he that believeth and is baptized, same shall be saved. But it goes on to say in the next verse, he that believeth not shall be damned. Don't say anything about it. He that believeth not and is not baptized, simply he that believeth not. The emphasis there is on believing, folks, not on baptism. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God we baptized a convert, but I'm telling you right now, baptism didn't get nobody in.
Amen.
Like them girls saying, through the blood.
Amen.
Compare that Bible. Search it and compare it and give heed.
Amen.
What you hear. Now, you also, and I'm just going to hit these, it's time for us to go home. You got to pray and meditate upon the Scriptures. That's the first thing they taught us in Bible college in, I forget what's the first year class, and I can't remember which one it was. But you got to, might have been a third year class, may have been homiletics, that you got to pray for interpretation and you got to meditate in the book.
Amen.
And the Lord said so Himself. The Lord said so. In the book of Psalms 1, verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Then you've got to put the Word of God into practice. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. That's the only way you're going to heed the Word of God.
Amen.
Is by putting it in practice. When you put it in practice, when you hear and heed and practice what you've heard, you're getting somewhere. But now listen, what my text says. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you.
Amen.
Now, why did He put that there? Not talking about losing your salvation. But He's talking about backsliders.
Amen.
And hearing something and holding it for a while, then just letting it slip. It's like Brother Steve said in Sunday school. We have not girded up the loins of our mind to hold on to what we've heard.
Amen.
You got to hold it. Can't let it go. Embrace it.
Amen.
Put a bear hug on it. Put a death grip on it.
Yep.
Amen. I mean, men, you hug your wives. Put a bear hug on them every now and then in order to put a bear hug on the truth. Find truth. Embrace it. Hold on to it. Don't let it away from you. Come on now. Say amen.
Amen.
Listen to what the Bible said in Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. In other words, keep what you've heard. Don't forget them all the days of your life. Don't let them depart from your heart. And here's the reason why. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Now, Logan Cummins, you little devil, you puked on me a while ago. Where's that little wicked devil at? You, Grandpa, great-grandpa will teach you a few things if you hang around, and one of them be it's not kind to puke on the pastor. That's right. How am I going to teach them something if I forget everything I hear? How am I going to teach you something if I forget everything I hear? How are you going to teach your children something if you forget everything you hear?
Amen.
Hold it! Embrace it!
Yeah.
I said, some of it stings a little bit. I know it does.
Amen.
Listen what Proverb writer said in Proverbs 4:4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words.
Amen.
Keep my commandments and live. Retain them. There's a preacher, I'm not going to mention his name. He's been here one time and sat back there, been years ago. Now, I'm not going to tell you his name. You probably wouldn't know him if I did, so I wouldn't remember. He's probably not in the area no more. But Brother Gene Mathias and I went off to a big auction one time up north, and we stopped by Brother Gene's buddy up there in Indianapolis. Oh, can't think of his name right now. He'd shout, all he had to do is say Jesus, and he'd shout for an hour and a half all over the building. Brother Gene took him out in Arizona to preach. Brother Gene's going to preach a revival meeting, and took Brother Hump, him Humphrey, took Brother Hump out there with him. They went to a big seafood place, fancy place. Said that pastor said there's several people there and their church family had come out to eat with them. Said that church pastor looked over and said, Brother Humphrey, would you grace the food tonight? And Brother Mathias said, oh my God, he don't know what he's done. He said Hump got to praying and got up out of his chair and said he ran running around and around that salad bar and said he had salad, tomatoes and stuff all over the floor and everything. I'm telling you, Hump was a mess. He was eating at one of the pastor's houses. One time, Hump went with Brother Mathias and they sat down in the pastor's house to eat that night. And a cat started wrapping around and around his leg. And the preacher said, well, let's grace the food. And he bowed his head. And old Hump said, this is my chance to get rid of this cat. There's a little closet door there, and he just kicked the cat in it and shut the door. When he did, he shut the cat's tail up the door, and the cat said, Rear! The preacher's there trying to grace the food. But what I'm telling you is, Hump would shout at the drop of a hat.
Amen.
But here's what he said about that man. We went by the same one day. He said, I'm going to tell you that preacher's problem. Said he's a polyparrot. He can't retain knowledge. He can hear it, but he can't hold it. Right. There's a whole lot of folks can hear it, but they never heed it because they can't hold it. The emphasis there is on hearing and holding. And if you hear and hold, you heed.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm about done now. Somebody said, thank God. Proverbs 4:20-21. Listen to this. My son, attend to my words.
Amen.
Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. Where did it say keep them? He didn't say on the threshold. Not around the edges. The middle of it. In other words, he's saying, you've got to make me the centerpiece of your heart.
Amen.
A lot of folks, these fancy folks, they got centerpieces on their dining room table. My wife's got a little snowman sitting on her. A lot of folks have these fancy candelabras and things, and they're called centerpieces. And they don't set them on the edge of the table where chairs are at. They set them right in the middle of it to add grace and beauty to that table. Jesus said, if you will keep my word, in the midst of your heart, it will add grace, and glory, and beauty
Amen.
To your life. Let's stand together.